Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyways, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live. We discuss a variety of topics and always enjoy interacting with our listeners. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now here's your host, John Maxwell, certified speaker, 25 plus years, master trainer, and coach, Miss Donna.
February 4th, 2024, and we are broadcasting live from the wonderful city of Atlanta. This is Donna, and of course, as you heard, it's a celebration. So we are kicking off Black History Month this evening and celebrating. All right, so stay tuned. So for the new listeners, I always want to just sort of start with answering the question, what is etiquette anyway? And etiquette is a set of rules of behavior. By using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. Now, the word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. And who we have to thank for that is Charles I and II of England. Because what they did is they copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So kudos to Charles I and II. Well, once again, a happy Black History Month. We are celebrating Black History Month, and of course, you know, we know that and certainly realize that Black history is truly made 365 days of the year. But the designated day or the designated month, if you will, is February. And I'm often asked the question why, because I do the show every year, and why has February been designated Black History Month when it's the shortest month of the year, the shortest amount of days, that is. And so I just wanted to start by just giving you a little information on the backstory of why February was deemed Black History Month. Now, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, you may or may not be familiar with him, but he was known as the father of Black history. And he is the one that actually started the first Negro Week. It was called Negro History Week in February of 1926 to ensure students would learn Black history. And it grew into Black History Month starting in 1976. Now, isn't that interesting? Because that is, what is that, 50 years later? After he actually started, it was again referred to as Negro History Week. And yeah, it took 50 years. Wow. But, you know, and grew into celebrating Black history for the entire month. Now, Carter G. Woodson, or Godwin, that was his actual middle name, Carter Godwin Woodson was an American historian, author, journalist, and also the founder of the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. He was one of the first scholars to study the history of the African diaspora, including African American history. All right. And by the way, he was born in New Canton, Virginia, back on December 19th, 1875. He died April 3rd, 1950, so he was 74 years of age when he passed away. He was educated at Harvard University, Berea College, the University of Chicago as well, and he was born to the parents of Ann Eliza Riddle Woodson and James Henry Woodson. And he did have a couple siblings, Bessie Woodson Yancey and Robert Henry. So he is considered the father of Black history, all right? Now, some, you know, I'm just going to cover a few different people this evening. Some you may know and have heard of, and some may not. And so, you know, the idea is just to, you know, kind of share some information about some heroes. And you, I'm sure that each one of you listening, you have some histories or heroes, if you will. You have some Black history heroes in your life, in your family. You've studied, or, you know, I know that you certainly know many. And I just want to, again, just kind of cover a few this evening, as we'll be doing this all month long. And there is one person that I was not as familiar with, and this may be someone that's new to you, and her name is Claudette Colvin. And on March 2nd, 1955, Claudette Colvin, and if you want, in case you want to look her up, it's Claudette, her last name is C-O-L-V-I-N. She refused to give up her seat on the bus. Okay, and I know many times when we hear about, you know, someone for deciding they were not going to give up their seat, we'd never heard of her before. And what she said, you know, I could not move because history had made me glued to the seat. It felt like Sojourner Truth's hands were pushing me down on one shoulder, and Harriet Tubman's hands were pushing me down on another shoulder, and I could not move. That's a direct quote from her. At age 15, on March 2nd, 1955, in Montgomery, Alabama, Claudette Colvin refused to give up her seat to a white woman. Colvin was motivated by what she had been learning in school about African-American history, and the U.S. Constitution. Note that this action took place just days after Black History Month. Okay, and just a little excerpt here. 15 years old, the tiny Colvin attended Booker T. Washington High School. She'd been politicized by the mistreatment of her classmate, Jeremiah Reeves, and had just written a paper on the problems of downtown segregation. On the bus home that day, the white section filled up. A white woman was left standing. The driver called out, and the three students sitting in Colvin's row got up, but Colvin refused. We've been studying the Constitution. I knew I had rights. Colvin's case went to trial in May. Colvin had been charged with three crimes. The judge strategically dropped two of the charges for disturbing the peace and breaking the segregation law, but found her guilty on the third for assaulting the officers who arrested her. Since Colvin had only been convicted of assault, appealing her case could not directly challenge the segregation law. Now, interesting enough, this was 9 months before Rosa Parks refused to move on the bus in Montgomery. Now, Parks knew Colvin from the NAACP Youth Council and was inspired in part to take her action by Colvin. Okay, and you can learn more about this and the rebellious life of Miss Rosa Parks. And particularly the Young Readers Edition now. And you know, and what happened after this, the story, you know, people began just kind of pitting Rosa Parks against Claudette, you know, Colvin, stating that she distorts history. But, you know, be that as it may, this actually happened first, okay? So... again, in case you want to look her up, her name is Claudette Colvin, C-L-A-U-D-E-T-T-E, Colvin, C-O-L-V-I-N. And when I researched and found that, I thought, man, this is really interesting. I never heard of her before. And so, so that's why, you know, sharing this kind of information is so important because, you know, it's educational and certainly, you know, we aim to be, in addition to being educational, inspiring, you know, and encouragement. So, and she was only 15 years of age. All right. Now, I'm pretty sure we've all heard about Harriet Tubman, right, the Underground Railroad. You usually hear. Now, she became one of the most revered conductors of the well-structured network. The Nature Navigator guided freedom efforts for hundreds of enslaved men and women in the American South. Yet, her reliance on the outdoors goes deeper than ushering others through dangerous forests. Tubman became a student of those around her. As a former enslaved woman herself, she listened intently to the local maritime workers to gain knowledge about constellations and how these sources could silently map routes to stations or safe houses. Also a naturalist, her keen desire to seek freedom was her driving force to understanding the medicinal properties that various plant species held. She healed wounded black soldiers, often in the middle of the night, as they fought their way to the other side of enslavement. Today we honor Tubman, not just for her work in helping forge the path to freedom for the ancestors, but her interconnectedness outlook to the benefits of nature. Okay? And so I just wanted to certainly share, you know, that bit about her because she has been pretty, you know, much known and promoted, if you will, as of, you know, regarding the Underground Railroad and helping the slaves to escape. But, you know, it was very much more to her than we typically hear. And in case you are joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about Black history. Some you may have heard of our heroes and sheroes, and some you may have not. So So just really, really honored to share some of these on this evening. Let's talk about Bessie Coleman. She's an aviation pioneer. She soared in the history books as the first Black woman to earn a pilot's license in 1921 and the first Black woman to fly publicly in 1922. Interestingly enough, in the early 20th century, more aircraft featured an open-air design which provided instant access to the elements. Bessie Coleman once said, "The air is the only place free from prejudices." Coleman's history-making journey was far from easy. The Texan-born and Langston University-educated aviatrix was determined to fly despite the naysayers. When no U.S. flight instructor wanted to teach her, Coleman put herself through language school to first learn French, then travel to France. It was there that she earned a pilot's license. Bouchansa Aviation landed her into the National Aviation Hall of Fame in 2006. Absolutely amazing. And also in 2023, Mattel honored her with their commemorative doll through its Barbie Inspiring Women series. Okay? Is that amazing or what? Because I remember when I first heard of her, I did not, you know, I didn't hear, you know, the entire, or this portion of the story about her. I knew she was the first, you know, Black woman to earn a pilot's license, but did not know, you know, the other details about her and how that, and it's, that's just amazing. You know, she learned French and then, you know, she traveled there. And so again, guys, really, really exciting and so cool that there is a doll, you know, a commemorative doll, you know, in her honor. All right. She's also a 2023 Bessie Awards finalist as well. Okay. So exciting, I do believe. And, you know, there are Black heroes and sheroes in every genre. And so we're just kind of looking, you know, we're the tip of the iceberg right now. And I wanted to just share some information, again, that you may not be familiar with. Hopefully, you know, you're taking some notes and you'll share, you know, some of this information, especially if you have children and grandchildren. This is generally the month that they will actually do it. They're usually asked, you know, in school to either write a report or to act out one of the characters. And I know that for myself, I remember Harriet Tubman was the person that I chose to. I think we did a play at school. It was either at school or for our Sunday school. And so I always chose Harriet Tubman because of what she did, and especially, you know, freeing the slaves. So, but, you know, wanted to share a little additional information that I had not heard about her. And so, yeah, the first Black female supermodel. We hear a lot about, you know, Beverly. We hear a lot about Iman, but the first Black females, and they're wonderful, absolutely beautiful supermodels. But listen, Naomi Sims, she actually was widely acclaimed as the first Black supermodel in the 60s. Okay, Naomi was the first Black model on the cover of Life magazine and Fashion. of the Times magazine as well, and that is Naomi. All right. Let's see. And guys, I hope you're learning some new information so that you're able to celebrate as well. All right. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to just stop here for a second. And I am going to take a quick break. And before I do that, I'm going to give you a few, I'm going to give you a few quotes. And I want to see if you know who said these quotes, okay? On the other side of the break, I'm going to come back and we'll talk about, I'll provide the answers. The time is always right to do what is right, which is one of my favorite quotes. I use that quite often as I initiate kindness and ask people to initiate acts of kindness. And then, you know, etiquette. So the time is always right to do what is right. And then another one is, we may encounter many defeats, but we must not be defeated. Okay, we may encounter many defeats, but we must not be defeated. All right, so I'll just stop with those two. I'll let you think about those, and I bet you probably already know who they are, okay? All right, so I'm going to take a quick break, come back, and I see you callers on the phone. I will involve you in this conversation as well. All right, so don't go away. We will be right back as we continue this conversation about our Black history heroes and heroes, okay? We are talking about Black History Month, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Have you ever dreamed of becoming an author? You've wanted to write a book but are not sure of how to get started? Or perhaps you want to write a book but you hate writing? The truth is, most of us have information and testimonials inside of us that need to be shared. Did you know that reading about your story can possibly change the trajectory of someone's life for the good? People are waiting and needing to be guided, directed, inspired, and encouraged. And this can happen just from reading your story. CourteousPublications.com can help you write your book and get it out. We offer virtual workshops and one-on-one coaching sessions. And if you don't want to write it yourself, we can write it for you. For more information, go to CourteousPublications.com. That's CourteousPublications.com, CourteousPublications. CourteousPublications.com, or you can send an email to CourteousPublications1@gmail.com. We help want-to-be authors write books. Have you secured your copy of the book What is Business Etiquette Anyway? By Donna Page Riley. Key strategies for building successful working relationships. This handy reference guide empowers you with tips to sharpen your etiquette tools, such as how to conduct successful meetings, how to connect with your customers, how to walk into any room with confidence and poise, and mastering the art of networking, only to name a few. Whether you are a student, CEO, entrepreneur, contractor, business owner, or employee, you'll want to add this resource to your library. Go to CourteousPublications.com, that's CourteousPublications, publications.com, click on Books, and click the What is Business Etiquette Anyway photo, and secure your copy today. What is Business Etiquette Anyway? By Donna Page Riley.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. You may join the conversation by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, we are back. We're going to start picking up callers. I do want to, as I promised, to give you the answer real quick to those two trivia questions. Who said the time is always right to do what is right? Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. That is his quote. And also, we may encounter many defeats, but we must not be defeated. That was from Maya Angelou. Okay, so I'm going to identify you by the last four digits of your phone number. That way you'll know I'm speaking with you, okay? The last four digits of this number is 8974. 8974, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm okay. Monica here. I don't know the answer to those questions, and I don't cheat, so I didn't go to the internet to see who said those, so. Let me just say that first. I definitely do not. They sounded familiar, but I don't know who those quotes come from. But I do know that Maya Angelou is one of my favorite when it comes to quotes. And she wrote of literature. And not just because of Still I Rise, which a lot of people try to, I think they promote that as one of her best. But to me, I know why the caged bird sings.
Yeah.
It's one of her best stories. And it's one of triumph. And so that's why I like that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I actually have some more information on her to just so people can really understand kind of the full scope of why she is just so phenomenal and what actually happened and led to her, you know, being used for so many years. And because oftentimes we don't hear the backstory. Backstory is what
I like to call it.
Yeah.
So she's one of my favorites. And then as clergy and a member of the AME Church, Jerina Lee has to be a favorite. She wrote, she was the first black woman preacher that we know of in the country ever. But in the AME Church, she, four women were ordained. And during the late 17 or early 1800s, she went on, even though the bishop would not give her a license, to preach in various areas up in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. And she was awarded her ordination as a member of the cloth as a woman preacher posthumously here in this country. I think it was 4 years ago at the last General Conference.
Wow.
So she's now considered, although it's long afterwards, she's now considered an ordained clergy. So we refer to her as the Reverend Jerina Lee, and she's always celebrated during February because this is her birthday month.
So would you spell her name for those who may want to look her up and look, you know, a little more information?
Mm-hmm. J as in Joy, A, R, E as in Edward, N, A, Jerina Lee, L-E-E.
Jerina Lee, yes, guys. So, Google her. I'm certainly going to look her up because that was one of the topics, too, I wanted to talk about. I was wondering because I was not familiar with her. And, of course, we know, well, a lot of us are familiar with the struggle of women in ministry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I can only imagine what she went through.
Yeah, she said that she was led by God. She had a vision, and she was going to pursue it no matter what. And he could not give her the license because our bylaws, if you will, of the church did not allow women to be ordained back then. Yeah,
wow.
So she went on to preach.
And guys, if you are listening, if you're streaming, I am just so apologizing to you because you're going to lose us in about 30 seconds or so. But we are going to continue the conversation, and you will be able to go back and download the episode. You'll be able to listen to it in its entirety. Okay, but I am so glad that you. Irina Lee. Okay, I am just so glad. But yeah, like I said, I can only imagine what she went through. I mean, and just women in ministry, period, you know, just during that time. I mean, and really, Reverend Monica, when do you believe with what, and I mean, and some men still, you know, don't believe women should be in the pulpit.
But no, some women don't either.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? Yeah. Yeah. Talk about that for a minute, because, I mean, when you are called by God, then he doesn't seem to believe it makes a difference whether you're male or female, because he calls whom he wants to call, right?
Well, no discrimination. Doesn't matter, male, female, black or white. And it's scriptural, but also, even if you're not looking at it from the theological point of view, it's interesting to me that women make up 90 to 95% of most congregations, irrespective of the denomination. And men have no problem with women serving in that role of a congregant or a missionary, supporting the church with hospitality, cooking, having meetings and so forth. But they are not strong enough or gifted enough, whatever it might be, to enter the pulpit. But I've always found that interesting, because just as with the vote, if we decided to walk out, to not come to church, the congregation would pretty much be empty. And so we have the power to make those changes, but for whatever reason through the years, in many denominations we haven't, and we have allowed men to convince us that is true. There are some women who don't want women in the pulpit either, or think that biblically it's wrong. Theological point of view, if you are a Christian, Jesus never says anywhere in the New Testament while he walked the earth that women should not preach. He had 12 disciples who were male, because that was the culture of the day. But when he chose to use women, he did, just like he used Mary Magdalene. And she is the only woman mentioned in all four Gospels for the resurrection narrative and having dialogue with Jesus Christ first. When he came out of the grave, the first person or persons with whom he spoke were women. And it was Mary Magdalene that he sent back to tell Peter and the others. It wasn't Peter that was at the grave first. It was Mary Magdalene. And he told her to go and tell the people that I am risen, that I am alive. And we look at that as her being given the first task of evangelizing, the first evangelist, the first to carry the word for Jesus was a female. And she was not definitely an affluent female. You know, she was considered to be street in our terms today. She may have very well have been prostituting. We don't know all of the details. It could be that she had some other social ills, but she was not one of the established Jewish women. So he not only uses women, he uses the least of these. The least of these. Peter, who the Catholic Church believes to be the first pope, was one of the worst-tempered disciples that followed Christ. And yet he was the one on which Christ built his church. So we look at it from the perspective that there is no perspective of gender or race. And Paul, whom most churches use as a voice against women preaching, is the one who said that. So it's very interesting, theologically speaking and culturally speaking. Yes, and I think Southern Baptists, I'm trying to remember, I know Southern Baptists still have restrictions. I don't know about Church and God in Christ. So I'll have to look and see if they allow women preachers yet. But historically, those two denominations did not allow women in pulpit.
Interesting. Because I know for a while, if it was I know one of the denominations not only did not allow women in the pulpit, but they did not allow women to be in a leadership role. Teaching, teaching, or you know, being a deacon or a deaconess, or you know, women weren't allowed to do that, and there is still denominations that are like that. And I just find that really, really interesting. It sounds like they're trying to keep the women in a stereotypical role, like you were saying, serving, you know, hospitality and those kinds of things. That's interesting. That's really interesting. And guys, just in case you are just joining us, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We're celebrating Black History, and we're giving you information that you may not be familiar with. And and so we aim to educate and inspire and encourage, and I we stay true to trying to make sure that we do that. So, wow, that is just really interesting, really interesting. And like you said, there's some women that believe that too.
They have to use women for, say, teaching in church school or Bible school, because if that, they wouldn't have anybody to teach. As I say, we outnumber the men, 10, you know, 9 to 1 or whatever the actual ratio is. But if we're 90% of the congregation, they can only discriminate for so long. They have to, you know, they have to choose.
Interesting.
But it's, yes, so, I know the Southern Baptist Convention is one. I just don't remember what the status is now. But I do believe that Kojic does not ordain women as pastors, and maybe they will allow them to in certain situations, and that would be some interesting research for someone. But I know historically they have not ordained women. So those two for certain.
Very, very interesting, especially looking at it from the angle of what you're saying. If the women don't go to church, then who are they going to have there to do anything? That's really good.
Well, we're proud because we've had 3 or 4 women bishops in our church, and that's just recent, but we've at least crossed that benchmark. Yeah. So we have 2 serving right now, and we've had 2 to retire, and I think one who is deceased. So we've had 5 women bishops.
That's beautiful because, yeah, here again, you know, and I hadn't thought about, you know, there are some women that feel the same way as men, as women should not be in the pulpit. That's interesting.
They resent us. I think it's getting better, but it's like there are women who follow the 45th president, no matter how he treats women and how he's been found liable for raping women, there are women who follow him. So he's... In every group, you'll see it. It's amazing to me.
I think that's where one of the terms cult was created.
And following blindly, you know, because someone tells.
Wow. Well, you always certainly educate us when you participate on the show. Reverend Monica,
well,
I appreciate
the time, and I do have to go, but I just want to, you know, tell everyone that certainly during Black History Month, sisters and sheroes who are not well known, we know of, you know, the Harriets and the Gretas and others, but there's so many others out there who you may not know, like Jerena Lee and others. So just go out and just search and, you know, do your homework and see what you can come up with, like you asked them to do. And I'll be listening to see the answer is to those trivia questions, though. I'll be listening.
I gave them after coming back from the show, from the break.
Okay.
And I can give them again, though, but the time is always right to do what is right. That was Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And then, of course, we may encounter many defeats, but we must not be defeated. That was Maya Angelou.
That was Maya? Oh, no.
That was Maya.
Okay,
that was so interesting. Yeah, that was interesting after we came back and you were talking about her as being one of your
favorites. My favorite. I didn't even recognize it.
Okay, thank you. That was absolutely her. Okay, thanks, Monica. It's always great to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
And guys, so I hope you are definitely, taking note here. and I agree. Please go back and make sure that you you look for yourself, look up some of those heroes and sheroes for yourself, because there's so many, and we'll be, over the course of this month, we'll be covering many, many more. And so since we are no longer live streaming, normally we go for, we're on for about an hour, just for the benefit of those who, you know, may not be able to download the podcast. I am going to go ahead and get ready to conclude. I will be back on next week, and we will continue sharing information, and would love to, and Reverend Monica basically kind of gave you a kind of like a homework assignment to just look up some other people that may not be so mainstream that you have already heard about. And maybe you can call us next week and share with us some of those who you researched and you found out about. And you'll always be welcome, you know, to call in and share those persons, okay? But again, what I'm going to do, since we did our live stream, we stopped a little early, not realizing that that the show was not scheduled for the full time, and I do apologize for that. But certainly those who were not able to continue streaming, again, all of our shows are archived, and you will certainly be invited to go back and just download the show, that particular episode, and listen again. And so next week, we are certainly going to continue, and I would love to hear some of the persons who are your favorites, okay? Again, thank you all for listening. I certainly do appreciate it. Those that interact with us, we thank you so much for that. If you're joining us for the first time, by the way, welcome to the What is Etiquette Anyway family. And, of course, we always also love our loyal listeners and, you know, who tune in, you know, show after show. Certainly do appreciate that. Glad that you are part of the What is Etiquette Anyway family. We appreciate when you tell your friends and family about our show, invite them to listen. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, and we know we can only do that one person at a time, and with each of your help, okay? Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. If you've listened to me even one time, you've heard me recite that. It's one of my favorite proverbs. Okay, so, and then, you know, treat others. Remember, too, to treat others the way you want to be treated. That's so important. That's the golden, it's considered the golden rule, you know, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you, okay? And be sure to, please initiate an act of kindness this week. And I know if you are intentional about this, then I know that you can initiate an act of kindness every single day. Just being nice. Just being nice. And it's just, you know, and I want to say this too. A lot of times people think, well, you know, I can't do major big things to be nice or anything. And, or you may think, well, you know, people should be nice to me. I'm important. But you know what? I just want to say on that note, it is nice to be important, okay? And I'm sure probably everybody may agree with that. It's nice to be important, but you know what? It's more important to be nice, all right? So think about that, all right? I want to thank you again for tuning in. We will talk again next week. Take care, good night, and God bless.
Thanks for listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we will discuss another exciting topic.